Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 10. We'll see how time goes today, whether or not we'll get into the seven thunders. I've got a theory on it, and I'll share it with you as long as you understand it's just a theory. I don't have any special revelation from God, you know, that he came and visited me at night and said, Mike, I want to tell you what to say. I don't have anything like that, but I do have an idea. And I will share it with you today, and you just take it to the Word of God and be Bereans, and we'll see whether or not it's true or not. But let's look at the idea. And again, I've been reiterating the idea that I really believe this is Jesus who appears as this mighty angel. I believe that this is a revelation of him in this passage. So I want us to look, let's start at the beginning. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Now verse 3, and he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. Think about that. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Let's go ahead and read verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, John said, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So, number one, what the seven thunders uttered is sealed up. They will not be unsealed until Revelation 6. That's clear to me. I'm also going to lay out a case for you that the seven thunders, that's God's voice, and if God said it, it's in here. It's sealed up for now. The revelation, the revealing of that has not been made known to mankind, but it's in here because if God said it, the prophets wrote it down. The scriptures of the prophets, that's how things are made manifest in these days. No doubt in my mind about it, all right? So if somebody comes along, or probably already has come along, God gave me a vision last night of what the seven thunders were. Now, I want to tell everybody. I wrote a book, and for $14.95 plus $10 shipping and handling, I'll sell this to you. Don't believe it, all right? And I'm not asking you to believe me on this subject either, but I'm going to give you a good guess, all right? So anyway, and that's the best we can do with something that is sealed up. I don't have the ability or the power to unseal it, so we have to wait for the Lord's coming. Let's go back to the idea of he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. One of the things that I, as I studied this years ago, one of the things that caught my attention was the language of this particular verse. It cried with a loud voice. I had noted, and we're going to go through this very quickly, the fact that when Jesus when he was on the cross, that's what he did. If you look in, and there was a reason why, and we'll tie it all together. Matthew 27:46. You can write these down, but let me just kind of go through these quickly. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Beautiful verse there. We now know it to be a revelation of Psalm 22. Number 22 is the number for revelation. So a revelation is Psalm 22. Jesus was quoting that right in front of them, and here they are at the base of the cross going, what did he say? I thought he said something about Elias. He wants Elias. Okay? That's not what he said. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And he was quoting Psalm 22. And if you go read, and here's the thing. God had poured out a spirit of darkness and blindness upon Israel when Jesus died on the cross. Why? Had they understood that Jesus was quoting Psalm 22, invariably one of them would have said, wait a minute. They pierced my hands and feet. They cast lots for my vesture. They would have known that Jesus was their Messiah, fulfilling what was prophesied in Psalm 22. But God had a purpose. Number one,
because of backsliding Israel and all her whoredoms and all her idol worship and all her witchcraft, God said, I'm going to put you over here for a while. You just, Israel's sitting in time out right now. And God says, time out for about 2,000 years. So that's where Israel is right now. The Hebrew Roots movement, the Seventh-day people and all these people want to take you and get you to understand. They say that you must understand the Bible from their perspective. The problem is their perspective was confused. They were standing at the foot of the cross and didn't know who that was. So it does not, it's not reasonable. It's not sound logic. It's not even sound biblically that we should go and follow in the footsteps of the very people who, because of their own blindness and their own heart, rejected the Messiah. We don't do that. I'm not going to go sit and learn in some rabbi's feet on how to talk Jewish and how to think Jewish and how they did it back 2,000, 3,000 years ago, because practically all of these rabbis are in a Kabbalah. That's just my little spin on this thing. I did some more study last night. I'm telling you, it's witchcraft, all right? But anyway, Jesus, he cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Mark 15:34, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, God opens it up to us, because in my terrible Greco-Roman, English-ized King James Bible that they hate, I actually have those words interpreted for me by God himself. God is the one who interpreted those words. He did it for me so that I would know that Jesus was fulfilling Psalm 22. He hid it from the Jews. They didn't even understand their own language. All right, anyway, enough of that. Mark 15:37, Jesus cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. Luke 23:46, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Again, another fulfillment of Scripture, another passage of Scripture that he said, and having said this, he gave up the ghost. John 11:43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, I like this. Because let me tell you who Lazarus is. Lazarus is a type. He's a foreshadow. He's a picture, an allegory. Lazarus, who has been dead 4 days. Did you know that from the time of Adam up until the time of Christ was 4 days? 4,000 years. Okay? Lazarus has been dead. You know why? Because, and I'll give you this, everything from the end of, I can't find it. Anyway, everything from Malachi back to Genesis predates the time of Christ and covers a 4,000-year span, with the exception of a 400-year silent period between Malachi and Matthew. And this is where God spoke, and there's death in the Old Testament. And listen, I revere the whole Scriptures. I love the law of God. I love the Bible. But it's very plain in the New Testament. When you have biblical understanding, you know that this Old Testament is death. This Old Testament represents our flesh. It represents what came first. He didn't say, except a man be born first, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This represents your first birth. And because this body is under this law, it is under the condemnation of this law. This body was not, God did not, Jesus did not come to save this body. He came to save my soul. Here is the second birth here, beginning in the New Testament. Okay, so this is the 4,000 years from Adam until the last prophet. That's what Lazarus represents. He's been dead 4 days and he stinketh. He's rotting. Paul said of the law, It's waxen old and ready to decay. That's what he said concerning the law. And so now Jesus is going to, he's going to cry with a loud voice and he's going to raise him back from the dead. He said three words, Lazarus come forth. That's a number for resurrection. Jesus rose on the third day. The prophecy of Hosea chapter 6, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he shall raises up again, we will live in his sight. And so Lazarus is a picture of Israel. And Israel is dead under the law, and God is going to bring them back to life. And I believe here Jesus is crying with a loud voice, as if he's crying to Lazarus. And I believe that Israel is going to raise from the dead. Now let's go to, here's what I do want you to do. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 31, all right? Isaiah 31. Now we're going to get into not just a loud voice, but him roaring with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, all right? I have, I've heard that in movies and things like that. I've been to Kenya, but I never encountered any lions, okay? I didn't walk through the jungles like you see in Tarzan movies or anything like that, and so I never encountered a lion like that. That would be, to me, you know how a lion has this hair sticking out? If I heard that walking through the jungle of Kenya, my hair would stick out like that, all right? That would scare me to death. Isaiah 31:4, look at what the Bible says. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abased himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Look at that. Here this Jesus is coming down in Revelation 10, and he is fulfilling exactly Isaiah 31:4. He is roaring as a lion, and here's all the false idol shepherds that are coming against him. And he's not afraid of them. He is not afraid of them. And he's coming down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Boy, that is spot on beautiful. And so here you see the beauty of the language of the King James Bible. It's always that, as, and so shall. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. As Jonas was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man. That phrase, as, followed by so shall, or something similar to that, you'll see it in different places in the Bible. And what Jesus is teaching you is typology. He's teaching you, go back and look at this story. Look at all the parts of this story that's given to you in this beautiful Bible. That's how it's going to be. So, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, so shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion. He's already been identified here in Revelation 5 as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then he's given the book, and now we see in Revelation 10, he's got the book open, and he's roaring like a lion. It cannot be anything other than Jesus. You say, well, what about the devil? That's an interesting part, because we're told, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That tells you right there that the devil is going to try to appear as the lion of the tribe of Judah. People think they're worshiping. This is what I'm dealing with right now. I'm doing the video series, Another Jesus. People are being deceived by another Jesus. All right? So Isaiah 31:4, I absolutely believe that this is the prophecy, and here in Revelation 10 is the fulfillment. Let's look at other places where the Lord roars, all right? Joel chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So again, why is he coming down? Why is he roaring like a lion? Because he is doing what he said in Isaiah 31, and Joel 3:16 backs that up. When the Lord roars, what is he doing that for? He's going to be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. And there is a remnant of the Jews, of Israel, that knows the Old Testament prophecies enough to know that that their Messiah is going to be from Judah, and Judah is a lion's whelp. They remember the prophecy of their forefather, Jacob. They have that in their mind. And when Jesus comes down from heaven, he's going to identify himself scripturally to them, and they will know that he's the Messiah. Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And by the way, back up in Joel, that is spoken in the direct context of Joel's army, which is Revelation chapter 9. So here we have the emergence of Joel's army in the book of Joel. Then we have the Lord coming down from heaven, roaring like a lion and giving hope to his people. And in here, Isaiah 42, the Lord shall, he shall cry, yea, roar, and he shall prevail against his enemies. Here again, we have the same theme as Isaiah 31:4. His enemies, the idle shepherds, come against him. Arr! Okay? I mean, you know, think about that. When you come home, and ladies, you come home and you see your husband there. Hi, honey. Arr! Well, don't go around him, okay? Or the, vice versa. Guys, you come home. Hi, sweetie. Arr! Okay, I'm out of here. Jeremiah 25:30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar. Now, he's not going to go, meow, meow. He's not going to do that. He's going to roar. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. That is, we haven't even got there yet. The Lord coming with the fierceness of his wrath to tread down the, it's the grapes of wrath is what it is, all right? So Jeremiah 25:30. Hosea 11:10, they shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. The Lord, here it is, the Lord in Isaiah 31:4 is going to roar like a lion. Joel 3:16, he's going to roar. Jeremiah 25:30, the Lord's going to roar. And in Hosea 11:10, here it is, saying it again. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. I don't know. I don't know that what I'm saying right now is the absolute. But where Israel is and where we are is the west. All right? And the children shall tremble from the west. And I have this idea that when Jesus comes to save Israel, he's turning the Gentiles back over unto cruel authority. He's going to turn them back over to the idols that all the Gentiles worshipped for thousands of years before Christ came. Amos chapter 1, verse 2. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion, there it is again, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. There it is, the shepherds again who are mourning, who are against, it looks like they are against Jesus. And boy, I'll tell you what, doing this study on another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel, I can tell you that there is an ever-increasing amount of shepherds. What I mean by that are pastors who are turning away from the real Jesus to follow the fake one. They're turning their backs on this. And as far as what I can see in the scriptures, when you turn your back on this, you've turned your back on Jesus. You cannot have, excuse me, you cannot have a salvation by Jesus Christ that leads you away from this book. There is no salvation without this book. It does not exist. And so when they turn away from here, they're turning away from Jesus, and they're becoming the enemies against the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah with the little book in his hand open. That's what they're doing. So that was Amos chapter 1, verse 2. And now look at Amos chapter 3, verse 4. Listen to this one. You're going to like this one, all right? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? A gin is a snare. It's a trap. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? A thought just occurred to me. We actually have something like that now in America, and it's being put all different places in the country, and especially here in the St. Louis area, because we're prone to tornadoes. We can get them pretty bad here sometimes, and so in towns all across the tornado belt of this nation, probably in towns where there's disaster preparedness, what do they have? They have big horns up that blow a trumpet to sound an alarm. And if we know a storm's coming, and then all of a sudden we hear, and there's one just at the top of the hill up here, if we hear that trumpet sound, we here know to take cover down in the basement of the church, because they're telling us a tornado's on the way, and we take it seriously. So that's what that means. And shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And look at verse 8. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Look at that. I mean, it says it right there for you, that the roaring lion is the Lord God speaking. And so I've went over this several times. I did this study, just a personal study for myself. This chapter captured my attention one time, several years ago. And I spent just weeks studying this out and putting all this together. And I was convinced then that it was the Lord Jesus. I kind of set it to the wayside. And I just, did other studies. When I come back to this, years later, there's nothing about this that alters, nothing that I know now. And I know now more than I did then. There's nothing that I know now that alters my perception of what Revelation 10 is speaking of. I am utterly convinced that this mighty angel roaring like a lion is the Lord God speaking. I absolutely believe that, and I've tried to sort of lay out my case for you. If I was in a courtroom, this is precisely how I would do it. I would lay out my case verse upon verse, scripture upon scripture. I would be careful not to quote any of the commentary writers. C.H. Spurgeon, Dwight L. Moody said this, Dr. so-and-so of such-and-such theological seminary examined this and examined the Greek text carefully, went into the... I didn't do any of that. What I did was I looked at the preponderance of the scripture and all the details of the scripture that leads me to the conclusion that this is nothing other than the Lord God, Jesus Christ, coming down again and preparing for what we're going to see in Revelation 19. It could be said that this is his glorious appearing. I don't know that. I don't know that, all right? But I am telling you that everything that I see here tells me that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to hold off on the seven thunders. I'm going to hold off on that. And what I want you to do is between now and next week, I want you to study. I want you to download our Bible search software. Go to visitbethelchurch.com, and there you'll see a link there to this, our Bible, Pure Bible Search, King James Bible Search Software. It's called something like that. I don't even know what it's called. But it works amazingly well. And after years of using QuickVerse, I finally started transitioning over to this new software, and I like it. And here's what I want you to do. And the software just makes it so easy for you to do this. It's available in Windows. It's available for Mac. As long as you're running Intel processors. It's available for Linux. You can download it, and in the Linux version, you can run it. Or those of you familiar with Linux, you can use the free and open source Wine, which is like a Windows emulator, and download that free of charge. That's one of the things I like about Linux, is everything, most everything is free. And you can download Linux, and you can even download the Windows version and run it under Wine. It runs perfectly. I have not found any problems with it at all. And then study the word thunder, or thunders. Study all the variants. Thunder, thundered, thunders, thundering, thunderings, whatever. And here's an easy way to do that. Type in the word thunder, and then add an asterisk right after that. And what that'll do is that'll give you every form of the word thunder. It'll list it down, tell you how many times the Old Testament, New Testament. It's beautiful software. But I want you to study thunder in the Bible. And I want you to get a sense of what the Bible is telling you, what that thunder represents. And here again, this is where a lot of people go wrong. They'll think, because they've been well-educated, that I have to go look at ancient Mesopotamia and culture to understand what they, to really see what they thought thunder was. Or I have to think about who John was writing to in these times when they were under the dominion of Caesar, and possibly what thunder would represent. I don't need to know that. That's garbage. That's not comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. It is comparing whoever's knowledge. Tim LaHaye. My wife got me back really before I started the prophecy ministry, before God started it, 1997, or maybe it was around that time. My wife bought me the Tim LaHaye commentary on the book of Revelation. It was he was writing on the success of the Left Behind series, and so it had sort of a Left Behind cover. And I'm reading through this, and I do remember that about the time I was studying Revelation 10, I took this book and I opened it up to see what he said about Revelation 10. And Tim LaHaye writes in there this beautiful genius statement. The seven thunders are the seven stages of the Roman Empire. And I went, where in the, what rock did you dig that out from under? Because Dr. So-and-so of such-and-such university said in his excellent work, blah, 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 that the Roman Empire went through seven stages from its inception to its fall. Who cares? Maybe somebody else could come along and say, no, there was nine. I've seen nine. Well, no, maybe there was just three. Maybe it was just two. It started and it ended. That's not authority. That's not giving you any light. It's actually leading you into darkness. Because Tim LaHaye was pumping this idea that it's going to be the revived Roman Empire. So this is why he writes about Nikolai Carpathia, who's the Antichrist from Europe. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense. It's not biblical. It's not right. It's not biblical. So study the thunders inside the spiritual thing, and you'll get a sense of what this thunder represents. And I'll give you a little clue here. There are seven times in the Bible where God said something. And in all seven times, John did never write this down. Others did. John never wrote this down. The thing that God said, he said it seven times in the King James Bible. Okay, it's just a theory. If you disagree with it, that's fine, because your theory is probably just as good as mine. All right, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that next week. All right. Hey, God bless you. Download the software. It's free. Tell people about it. Pray for us. We're moving through the series of Another Jesus, Another Spirit, and Another Gospel. And just opening up some things the devil does not want opened up. And I appreciate those of you who call, write, or whatever, and say, Pastor, we just want you to know that when we have prayer every day, we pray for you. You cannot imagine what that means to me. Okay? And I'm dead serious. So I really appreciate it. All right? Pray for us. Support us if you can, and we love you. All right, God bless you. Study this old book, all right? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.